There's games on the left. There's games on the right. Generally, Thomas, you can't move for games at the moment.
That's true. It's a little bit...
It's almost as if we haven't podcasted for 2 weeks. There's not been anything to do, but we've been playing video games.
I've been playing video games.
I've been playing video games. Let's talk about them. It's Tom and Matt Attack.
And I say that like it's a thing because I don't honestly spend a lot of time playing video games.
You don't? No, this is true. For someone who co-hosts a video game podcast, your video game playing time is quite light.
But yeah, we've had plenty of time to play video games. We've been away for a couple of weeks. Busy boys.
Yes.
Well, busy Boyle.
Well, busy Boyle, also busy Parry. Don't host
hang on,
it all
hang
on,
on hang on. 2 weeks. That's been you, isn't it?
Was it?
Was it?
Was it? I don't know.
No.
It's all forgotten in the sands of time. I know last week was definitely me. I think the week before was you.
Was it? Okay.
Yes.
It's a hectic time of year.
It is. Tis the season to run around like headless chickens trying to buy things.
We've reconvened on a Tuesday to record a new podcast.
Exactly. So this will go up on that said Tuesday. So
really?
You are listening to this on the day, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm about to bugger off to the UK again. So there won't be a podcast this weekend, and I was sure to get one in. Because games have been coming out, Tom. Big games. Games you know the names of.
And I've been playing old games.
Oh, really? Well, let's start with them then, I guess.
Well,
what have you been playing?
The newest game I've been playing is Titanfall 2.
Okay. Oh, really? You picked up some Titanfall 2? That's news to me. Tell me more about Titanfall 2, Thomas Parry.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
I've played the first hour, played the first mission.
Okay.
I've enjoyed what I played. I enjoyed the objective-based nature of the first mission.
Yeah.
I felt it felt different from the competition, for example, Call of Duty, where it is a shooting range, in effect,
yes.
Whereas Titanfall was something which had given me an objective to collect these batteries, so I do a little bit of exploring and a little bit of jumping around. In that respect, it made me think of Turok, in a way, because I was trying to think of another first-person shooter which made you jump around. I mean, Doom does, I guess.
Yeah, well, but I mean, Doom's is just kind of in the frivolity of it all, isn't it? It's just like, oh, I can jump.
But in Titanfall, you really have to think about
you do
the jumping.
And it'll become second nature. You'll get used to doing wall runs. I thought it was a bit much at first. I was like, oh, shit, I got to...
There's quite a lot of those wall runs in the first mission, isn't there?
Wait until you get to the end of that game. There's sequences throughout that game that are literally like, hey, I'm going to puzzle platform this, that kind of reminds me of Portal in a way. It's very good.
I enjoyed the native species on the planet as well, which are also a hazard, as well as the guys shooting you.
Yeah.
The robot dudes.
And the crazy lizard dog things.
The lizard dog things, yeah. I thought, overall, impressed. I have to say, I wasn't blown away. I thought it was a very solid, very enjoyable experience. I don't know what I expected. I guess anything gets hyped, you think, because I'd heard Titanfall 2, amazing single player.
Hey, man, wait, is all I'm going to say to you.
I know, it's too early to judge, and
that game goes some interesting places.
It's unfortunate I haven't played more of the game so I can talk about that and we can have a little bit of a dialogue.
Well, we can talk about it before next week. It's all right. Like, before the next podcast where we sing our praises about games of the year and
the
all
thing
of those
is,
things.
I haven't been wanting to play that because I've been playing... have wanted to play it, but I thought, okay, hang on, Tom. Don't get carried away. Brand new game. Look at that game you never finished ages ago. Firewatch.
Okay, yeah. And you beat it. Finally.
I beat Firewatch. I beat Skylander Giants as well.
Oh, God, look at you. What have you been doing?
Oh,
God.
Yeah. I've nearly finished Last of Us Left Behind as well.
Bloody hell,
I think
Parry.
I've nearly finished
it. Are you feeling all right?
Oh, I don't know. I even got home from work yesterday and played Last of Us.
Wow.
As soon as I got in.
Yeah?
Because
I wanted to... Didn't even take off your coat and shoes?
That's my dedication to this podcast. I wanted to talk about it. I actually wanted to complete it, but unfortunately I had to go out, so I couldn't...
Hot damn.
...finish it. We'll go into that in more detail. I want to know what you've been playing, Matt.
Okay.
What's been going on?
Well, it's been a busy period, as you said. I've picked up a load of games. Scarcely played that many, to be honest with you. I obviously, the big one on my list, which is actually why I had to delete Titanfall 2 from my hard drive, was Final Fantasy 15. Finally, got a release.
You deleted the Titanfall. I just got it. We could play multiplayer.
I will reinstall Titanfall because I love that game very dearly. Unfortunately, though, it was a choice between do I delete Overwatch and do I delete Titanfall, and my allegiances had to fall to Overwatch, because that is my I've got 5 minutes to kill, let's play a quick game of Overwatch game.
And let's face it, you're so busy at the moment, there's probably not time to play Titanfall.
I haven't played Final Fantasy 15 in almost a week, and it is killing me softly with its song, my whole life with its words.
We have a mutual friend by the name of Martin Fink, who isn't a big gamer, but he has picked up Final Fantasy, and he's itching to talk to you about it. I don't know if he's had the chance yet.
He has not, fortunately, if he doesn't, I can just turn him on to this podcast, and then he can listen to my little Tin Welsh tones talk about it.
I can't wait to hear what Matt Boyle thinks of Final Fantasy 15.
Right then, let me take you on a little journey, Tom Parry, called my interest in Final Fantasy 15. So, 10 years ago, a trailer came out for a game called Final Fantasy Versus 13. Final Fantasy Versus 13, not 15, as many of you will know. This game has been in development for 10 years. It started as a side game, as did Type-0, I believe, also Final Fantasy Type-0, and also some mobile game. They were all going to be part of this Crystalis thingy.
I even remember this, reading about it, I think, in Edge or Game.
So there was going to be Final Fantasy 13, there was going to be Type-O, was going to be a spin-offy thing on the PSP, which it was, and then got remade on the HD consoles. There was going to be Final Fantasy Versus 13, and there was also going to be some kind of mobile experience, but then I think that got made into the PSP game. I can't quite remember.
Was it a PSP or PS Vita?
It was a PSP game.
Wow.
Yeah.
But not in Europe?
Not in Europe.
No, I don't recall
seeing that. Many thought it would never come out in the West, and then it's Type-O.
Yeah, Type-O, yeah.
Yeah, it got released then on the PS4 and
Xbox
One.
I remember you getting that.
It's a very good game. So they had these games, and they were like, okay, cool, yeah, we're going to release this. It's going to be part of an expanded universe in the same way they tried to do with 12 and 10, but on a much grander scale. So they made the game, and it got delayed, and it got delayed, and then came a time where there was an Xbox conference, and they were like, Final Fantasy, and everyone was like, oh my god, and I was just like, please let it be Versus 13. That game looks really interesting. And it wasn't. It was Final Fantasy 13 proper, which, as regular listeners to the podcast know, I don't really like very much. And so the years went by, I kept watching it, and they kept releasing footage, and I kept getting interested. And it got to a point where I was just like, well, they're ever going to release this game, are they not? Bugger it, I don't really care anymore. The main character looks pretty interesting. And then slowly but surely they said, hey, it's now called FF15, it'll be coming out. And I watched that E3 trailer 2 years ago. And I was like, okay, that looks interesting. That doesn't really look like the kind of game I'd be interested in.
That looks interesting. It doesn't look like I'm interested.
Like, it looks interesting, but it looks like it's not for me. It was weird. There was a lot of sliding into cover and throwing spells in a Gears of War-esque fashion around corners, in the same way that you might extend a lancer and shoot around a corner.
My first impressions of it, I wasn't attracted to the game. I didn't think that the characters didn't appeal for me.
No.
To me, for one, because they were all sort of similar looking guys and they're a little bit pretty boys, and I didn't really know what it was going for.
I liked the look of Noctis, the main character, purely because of that original Versus 13 trailer. You must have seen this, right? Where he's sitting on a throne, and then he gets up off the throne, and essentially as he's walking down these castle steps, there's hundreds of guards in front of him. And, like, as he takes a step forward, they all cock their guns as in, like, oh, shit. And then one of them just starts firing, and then they all start firing. You're like, oh, my God, they're all firing in this one dude. And then it pans to him, and then he's just walking, and, like, they're all ricocheting off the shield. And you're like, why has this guy got a shield? What's going on? And then it's just, like, they all have ended firing. And then it's just like, you've done, and then the shield just kind of bursts into these weapons, and then the trailer ended, and I was like, that looks amazing.
So he was a badass.
I thought, is he the bad guy? Is he the main character? What's going on? Da, 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 da.
Very intriguing name.
It is, yeah. And so, but like I said, my interest waned completely. I was like, well, I'll play it. It's a Final Fantasy game. I don't really know if I'm going to be that into it. fast forward to last Sunday, I had seen Kingsglaive had been released. I had seen that Final Fantasy 15 Brotherhood had been released. I had not bothered watching them. I was like, do I care enough to invest? Like, Spirits of Inn's an alright movie, but it wasn't that great. Square was never really that good at storytelling over the last couple of years for me. Do I really want to sit down and watch what will inevitably be a boring movie? But my friend Aaron was here from the UK, and he's very excited for Final Fantasy 15. He had not seen these things. And so it was his birthday, and I was like, well, you want to watch a movie? What do you want to watch? And he's like, oh, should we watch Kingsglaive? I was just like, we can do, but like, your girlfriend and my fiance are going to be a bit pissed off by us watching Kingsglaive.
Is it going to be like the Bayonetta movie?
Well, yeah, exactly. And that was another thing. Like, video game movies, generally speaking, as most people know, generally a big...
You might as well play the video game rather than watch the movie. That's how I felt watching Bayonetta.
Well, like, yeah, you lent me the Bayonetta movie and it was terrible. And I mean, the Final Fantasy Spirited Within at least looked nice, and at least Kingsglaive looked nice. And I was like, well, okay, this would be all right.
Well, Spirits Within was all right, I thought. Not amazing, but it had something.
Yeah, but But a very forgettable movie in a lot of ways, other than, wow, this looks amazing, I can't believe this is CG in the 90s. Kingsglaive, however... very enjoyable movie.
Quite really?
Pleasantly
Definitely.
Surprised.
It's just better than you expected.
My fiance, who it had every qualm of can we watch something else, and Aaron's girlfriend Jade, quite enjoyed it, I would dare to say.
Oh.
And so we watched then Brotherhood, which is the anime spin-off, which isn't great. It's all right. It gets you interested in the characters.
Brotherhood, is this referring to the gang?
Brotherhood
is
a small series of, like, I think there's five shorts around roughly 10 to 15 minutes in length. So we watched all of those afterwards with no protest because we were bought into the characters. You're
buzzing on the Final Fantasy high.
Yeah, and so then I was just like, okay, I need to buy Final Fantasy 15 the day it comes out. So I got home, plugged it in, installed it. I was like, right, I got to go running, I got to do all these other things. I sat down to play it. I played it until about 2 o'clock in the morning.
It grabbed me
by the shoulders and shook me a little bit.
And that must be not just, I guess, the story, but also the gameplay. There must have been something good about
the combat system.
The control
is damned impressive. I really like the combat in Kingdom Hearts. This feels a lot like Kingdom Hearts, but in an edgier setting. There's a fluidity to the combat that perhaps borders on what Taipo offered.
Yeah.
But it is just such a nice combat system. So essentially, the main controls are you have a button to slash, you have a button to roll, much like you do in Kingdom Hearts. Pressing the triangle, you will throw this blade and it will teleport you.
I've seen some gameplay. It looks frantic.
There is times where you are literally chaining between like 6 or 7 enemies these throws and hitting, and you have MP that balances it all out. And you were bouncing around enemies, just hitting the shit out of everything. Mm-hmm. And it's generally a good time. You got to be a bit on your ball with dodging and going, okay, this enemy's going to do this. But like bigger enemies and bosses, it will tell you, like, hold down square now. Because if you do, then you can parry with circle.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I'm not really that... I was invested because of the story of the anime and the movie. Then I played the game. I don't think the storytelling in the first 5 chapters of what I've played, so I think it's the first quarter of the game.
Is it a slow burner?
Has been as strong as Kingsglaive or Brotherhood were. Yeah. A lot of my feelings for those characters are actually based, I think, more on what I saw in those films rather than this.
Yeah.
But I've heard that there is a point that's coming up very soon where that will change and the storytelling will perhaps become of the better Final Fantasy stories ever told, which I'm very curious about. I was told this by people who I know and love games like Final Fantasy IV, Final Fantasy VI, and VII, which are, for me, ranked the highest in terms of storytelling.
It's a nice-looking game, and what's always attracted me as not really a big RPG player is the visuals of the Final Fantasy series.
Yeah.
I remember not having a PS2 for the longest time and actually rather adoring what 10 looked like.
Yeah.
And this game also looks like it's got really good graphics, yes, to put it bluntly.
My neighbor Matteo came in and we were there, and usually anytime I'm playing a new game, he'll come in and we'll have a beer and we'll chat about what's going on. And like, he's seen Overwatch and some of these other things, and he was looking at Final Fantasy 15 and he's like, wow, I can't believe they can render games that look like this now. And he thought it was cutscene. I was like, oh, this is in-game graphics. And he was like, you fucking kidding me? I was like, no, this is in-game graphics. It's even better when they do the rendered stuff.
Yeah, nice to see games pushing consoles at the moment, because I think there's so much more untapped potential in this generation.
Definitely.
So it's good to see games like this making use of that power.
But honestly, like, apart from some of the storytelling stuff, I really don't like how they handle magic in this game.
Okay.
It's kind of... You've played a bit of Final Fantasy VIII, right?
Yes.
You've seen the draw points in the world of Final Fantasy VIII.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I feel quite proud of myself.
So you draw magic in a similar way. There are crystals in the earth. So far, I've only encountered fire, lightning, and ice. And you draw, and you can hold up to 99 of these drawn things. But then you have to go into a menu to create magic. And so you have to, like, it's like a potion mixing thing. It's very light and a bit fluffy. And it feels a bit awkward because you can only really craft three at a time. And your magic is then on a very long cooldown. And then you don't automatically switch back to your weapon of choice. I should mention that as well. You juggle different weapons. And Noctis's blades that I mentioned from that trailer that come out of him as like a crystally thing.
Mm.
You can use them as well, but they deplete your health, but naturally they're much stronger.
It's like using a special move in Streets of Rage.
Yeah. It's interesting, but like, magic for me is not really handled very well. The story at the moment's been a bit meh. I'm at a point where my car has been taken away from me, and so I'm now using chocobos, which is you can use chocobos in the game experience, I guess. It's just there to show you the other means of transportation in the game.
Yeah.
And I have actually no idea really why my car was taken.
How does the car handle?
It is on rails.
Oh, okay.
You cannot just drive the car off of
in
the
GTA
thing.
Style.
No, it's a bit disappointing, to be honest with you. It's your main needs of transportation. To be honest with you, Sam, one of our listeners, wrote to me to say, I asked him where he was. He said, oh, I've been playing about 8 hours. I'm on the second chapter. I was like, well, I've been playing it 8 hours. I'm actually on the fifth, because I was using this fast travel.
Yeah.
Because driving around in the car for me was really tedious.
Yeah.
It hurt more than it helped. And so
what was the appeal of driving around in the car?
Well, it's a very pretty world and there's a lot of stuff to do in it, and side quests and things. Mm. But as someone who was just trying to, I want to explore a bit of this world.
You want to get into the good
story.
But
I also want to get into the good story.
Yeah.
For me, it was more of a hindrance. But all in all, I'm very, very impressed with Final Fantasy 15. If it does take the turn I've heard it does, it may possibly be my game of the year in a game of very strong... Is it been a year of very strong games?
Would you say the RPG fan should not be disappointed with this? This is a, you know...
I don't think fans of games in general should really be disappointed with this. I think it is very accessible.
Here we go. Can you see me playing it?
I honestly could. There is not much in the way of equipment. There is not much in the way of a complicated leveling system.
Okay.
You played Final Fantasy X, right?
Yeah, a little, very linear,
you know.
I remember.
You know the sphere grid from Final Fantasy X?
Yeah, but not well.
Essentially, the way you level up here is a dumbed-down version of that.
Okay.
By completing specific tasks or leveling up, you will gain AP, and then a certain amount of AP will allow you to unlock the next thing on this grid. But from what I've seen so far, those abilities are very limited. You don't have to party manage, so you're essentially playing as Noctis, and you can have characters chime in every now and again.
I like customization. I like that about Pokemon.
Yeah.
What I don't like about more traditional JRPGs is how everything is sort of predefined already. You know, in Pokemon, I've used this example before, you have such freedom with 6 Pokemon and so many moves to create a team and battle with that team. And that's what I enjoy most about those games.
Yeah.
I always feel with other RPGs, like Final Fantasy, you know, you're going to meet these people. They're going to join your team. You don't have a choice. You know, there have been Final Fantasies in the past where there's been so many characters you have to maybe choose from.
You really need to play Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, I have played a bit of Six back in the day, I think. And I like that degree of customization. That's what I really like about RPGs. And if it's all sort of, well, this is on a track, you're going through, you're going to meet this guy at this point in the game, he's going to join your team, you've got to have him. And it feels a little bit restrictive to me.
You should play World of Final Fantasy. It's essentially Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, that appeals to me much more. Because the reason I play Pokemon is for the collecting and the battling.
Yeah.
And the strategy.
I think you should play this game because it is a very good game. Like, regardless of your feelings about linear narratives in RPGs.
But I guess there's some skill in the combat.
There definitely is. On level, I would say, with a platinum game style combat. Not in terms of combos.
But it's more strategic, I imagine, than
you're flying around the battlefield, you're actually swinging the swords.
If there's a great deal of satisfaction to be had with the combat, it might...
The combat is the thing that has got me through so far. Otherwise, I would not be singing this game's praises. I genuinely think it is a very interesting direction to take in the combat.
I have to say, even with Pokemon Moon, which I'm playing at the moment, I'm tapping that button to get through them cutscenes. Sometimes, I did feel at the beginning of that game, there was a lot of explaining needed to be done.
I don't think there is tedious. So much here.
Okay. I do like Team Skull, though. I'm moving on to Pokemon now. But,
yeah. Okay, well, let's jump onto it. Let's tie a knot under Final Fantasy. Hopefully next week I'll have played a bit more of it because I'll have been back a couple of days to do so. But yeah, Pokemon.
You like?
I've been playing. I like. I'll let you babble a bit first. Yeah. I've been talking about 50 minutes about Final Fantasy.
Well, I like it also.
Yeah?
I think it's a bold new turn for the series.
Me too.
It feels different. It feels fresh. I did not expect to lose gym leaders.
No,
and
me neither.
To gain these trials. So far, I've only actually tried the first trial, where I've had to go into a cave and go in little holes.
Yeah.
And Pokemon Rattatas pop out and fight them. But the fact they are at least doing something different with that, it's nice and it feels exciting and new, and I can't wait to see actually what happens next. So it's definitely injected that much needed newness into Pokemon without making it feel too different, I suppose. The camera is in a very different place now. How you view the 3D world, sort of, I think I like it, kind of works. I feel like it's not as big. I don't know. I know it's big, but when you're actually that zoomed in and that close, it feels kind of small.
My question to you as a new 3DS owner.
Yeah.
Can you use that second stick to move the camera?
Never tried it. Never felt the need to try it, to be honest. I've not found that I need to move the camera. You can't see what's ahead of you, really.
I would really like you to try and see if that is a possibility, because that's what it felt like to me, that this fixed camera would be movable if I had a new 3DS.
Yeah. It's not hindered me. It's just different. And I get everything kind of make it a bit easier to swallow that it's so zoomed in. And I play for about 40 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I get that far. So I feel like it's pretty big, the world is, even though it's deceptively big.
It is deceptively big. I think it's just the amount
deceptively small. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I genuinely think, looking at the... I've just got to the third island. For those of you who don't know, the region of Alola. I'm saying that right?
Alola.
Is split up into four islands from what I can see on my map so far.
Yeah.
And so you travel between them. They've done away with HMs, which I think is an interesting thing.
Yeah. Well, it was always an annoyance more than it was a cool thing. It's like, so I'm happy to see that. What I'm not so happy about this game is I want new Pokemon.
This conversation, you and I differ.
You're quite happy to play with the old Pokemon.
You're happy
to find a nice classic Pokemon, add it to your team. I'm like, I've been there, I've done that. I want to go into that grass and find something I've never seen before and go, whoa, okay, cool. Yeah, I want to add that to my party.
I'm going to throw out my controversial statement right now, Tom Parry. Yeah. This game is so different in terms of gameplay and how you tackle it that I would have been happy if they had not introduced any new Pokemon.
I would have been the opposite. It would have frustrated me a lot if that been the case. It already frustrates me at the minute that I'm not seeing as many new Pokemon as I'd hoped I would.
I think these new Pokemon are perhaps the weakest designs they've ever done, and therefore I'm not really that bothered by them.
I'm going to partly agree with you there. I am a little bit disappointed having now seen all the new Pokemon.
Yeah.
In the designs, I think there have been much better Pokemon designs in previous games.
Yes.
I was so excited, I think, when Black came out, and you had about 150 new Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were thrown at you, you know, straight from the beginning. And I really appreciate the design. I know a lot of people have said about Pokemon that designs have gone downhill and that none of those new ones are as good as the old ones. I think they've been fairly consistently good over the years.
I genuinely think, like, if you look back at even the... I think the first game, there are, out of those 151 Pokemon, to look at it as objectively, as a character designer by my profession, I think you have a lot of trouble picking apart some of those Pokemon. I think, yeah, maybe Grimer and Muk are very generic in their looks. They are a slime, but I mean, other than that, I have very little.
I like the original Pokemon. I don't have anything bad to say about them. I just, when I get a new Pokemon game, I want a lot of freshness in terms of the Pokemon designs. Because
yeah.
I guess, you know, as I say before, for me, it's about battling and collecting. And, oh, yeah, just frustrates me a little. But I have to say, again, I'm really enjoying the game and I'm really enjoying the new twists. And for the first time, this was my little hesitation at the beginning as well, actually. The cinematics.
Yeah.
Pokemon's never been that cinematic before. And I was like, oh dear, are you just adding something that I don't like about RPGs into my Pokemon game here?
Yeah.
This is kind of longer cinematics. And it's got a couple of them at the beginning. And, well, it's very impressive to see that on a 3DS screen, to see that in a Pokemon game. I was kind of hoping, not too much of this, please. Let me go, get free from this fixed narrative.
It takes a long time to get into that game.
Wonder.
I can't imagine the people I've been seeing articles on Kotaku about people getting shiny Pokemon.
Yeah.
And to get a shiny Litten or a shiny Rowlet, they've been restarting the game constantly. It's like, can you imagine how long that takes with that fucking opening introduction? That takes like 20 minutes to get a Pokemon.
Yeah, that would be a criticism. It's kind of plodding to get into it. But I imagine for anyone new to Pokemon, this is a fantastic introduction to the world of Pokemon. And the they've made a lot of stuff a lot more easier to swallow. That was they've managed to do every Pokemon game, improve things. Imagine when they put the bike on select. That was a huge thing. They gave you the running shoes. And now running shoes is a given. You can run from the beginning. You know, it's like, and that was an older improvement. All the new things, as you say, about the TMs and HMs, that's great. It's evolving. Fantastic. It's delivering a great experience again.
Don't press B on in the evolution, Tom. Don't press B on the evolution.
Why?
Don't stop it evolving.
I don't usually.
Good. I'm talking about the game in general.
Oh, the game. Yeah. Please evolve Pokemon. It's one of the best things about a franchise like that. That it nearly got stale on Diamond and Pearl for my liking.
Got stale for me at around Ruby and Sapphire. That's why I'm just like, I don't give a fuck about new Pokemon designs. You can throw as many new Pokemon at me as you want.
Yeah.
For me, it is about having a new gameplay experience that still obeys the laws and mechanics of that system. And does that in any interesting way?
I would have played Sun and Moon had it just been another reworking of what I played in Omega Ruby and Sapphire. But I'm happy to see that they're innovating.
Potentially wouldn't have.
Yeah. There we go. You know, they're playing a balancing act of pleasing everybody. And they're doing a rather good job of it. It's a bright and colourful world as well. And a lot of character. In fact, I must say that the characters in this game are really well done and well thought out. Team Skull are hilarious, which I hinted at earlier.
I do like Team Skull.
They're so bumbling. And some of the lines in Pokemon, the writing is hilarious. I don't know if this is a direct translation or they've had some fun with them.
These last three, actually, since X and Y, they've been releasing them worldwide on the same day, or at least trying to. Yeah. I know this was released a couple of days earlier in the States than it was in Europe, but they've been aiming for a worldwide release as they did on X and Y, and that means they've been localizing in English the same time as they're writing it in Japanese.
Because my fear with these kind of games is boring dialogue, you know, stilted, stale, boring dialogue, and it's not in Pokemon. And, you know, it's a lot of RPGs, actually, the writing can be quite good.
Yeah.
But I've just had some experience in the past where it's just been tedious.
I don't think they could have afforded to with the level of cinematics in this game. Mm. I think if it would have been a boring story, because there are times in this game, and you know me, I am a diehard, I will read every line of text in a JRPG. there have been times where I've just skipped through your rival's dialogue because it's just, we're young. I'm just like, which one's it? What the hell's the name of the rival in this game? The young boy.
How?
How? Sometimes when it comes to like how or the professor, I'm just like,
oh, I like the professor. He's a cool dude.
He is. You haven't even seen him dressed as a luchador yet. Oh, wait. Just wait.
Wow. So we give a big Tom and Matt Attack thumbs up. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
Pokemon Sun and Moon.
100%. I'm very pleasantly surprised.
You've heard our criticisms of the game, but it's not half bad.
Yeah, and that's they should put that in the back of the box. Not half bad. Tom and Attack. Probably the biggest words of praise we've ever given for a game.
Can we talk about Firewatch?
We can. Let's get into this.
So Firewatch was a game that released ages ago. As I said at the start of the podcast, I'm playing some old games as well. I'm playing Firewatch for, I don't know, months.
Yeah. since time began, it seems, when the weather was warm.
I tell you what, I stuck with it this weekend.
Good.
And I finished off the story, and now finally we can talk about it.
Yeah. So spoilers, Firewatch, I guess, for the next 10 minutes. what did you think of it?
You know what? I was a little bit underwhelmed to begin with.
Yeah.
But the more I pondered on the nature of the story, I grew a greater appreciation for it. Because it's not all you expect it's going to turn out like, is it? I thought, which in a way is quite good, I guess, because it's not obvious what's going to, the twist in the game. Let's get out here now that I don't know, like probably like yourself, thought that Delilah probably was in on something.
Yes, I thought so too.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, what the developers are going for.
Yeah, of course.
Of course she wasn't.
No, she isn't. No, she isn't involved in it at all. And the mystery... should we spoil it or do we not? I think this is a talk for people. We've already given the spoiler warning, so this is your last chance to back away before we spoil the end of the game. This whole mystery of like the it was an accident and the guy's son was killed.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, okay, well, that's what this is. Like, this isn't part of some crazy big government conspiracy.
Yes,
this is
a, that it appears to be.
This is a whole other thing.
But is it convincing that this guy would go to these lengths to listen to your conversations?
Not for me.
Why did he want to do that? Is it that he needed something to do because he was scared to go back in civilization after maybe, you know, he might be accused of killing his son?
Yeah.
Which is the thing why he stays in the forest. Yeah. As a guy, you know, he's watching you, he's listening to your phone calls, he's in this forest because his son has died in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
We guess it's an accident, especially from the end credits as well.
Yeah,
we know that there was a love between father and son, and you know the father was not out to kill his son. Something happened. He has stayed in the security and safety of the forest.
Yeah,
which is where you, as the main character, Henry Hank.
Is it Henry or is it Hank? I can't. It's Henry. Yeah, you've played it more than I have, like closer than I have. It's been a while since I have. I think you're right in Henry.
Yeah, as Henry, you've also gone to the forest to, you know, you've gone there to escape. He stayed there to escape.
Yeah.
So you can draw these parallels between Henry and the father. I forget the name.
Me too. I can't remember either.
I've only just finished it as well. So, in the way, I found that effective and worked well. And of course, you've got this extra layer of this relationship thing. You've gone to, you know, your wife's sick.
Yeah.
You know, your relationship is in a bit of turmoil at
God,
the moment.
My wife, I think my wife had died. That's an interesting thing. Obviously, depending on your choices at the start of that game.
Seriously?
Yeah, my wife had passed away. My wife had been terminally ill and I'd gone there and I was... You know, like... So right at the start of the game, there is a selection process. There's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure style. Like, hey, you know, you're at this cocktail bar and you meet this woman. Da-da-da-da-da. What are you doing there? And then, hey, what are your things? So depending on that, you will have a different outcome. And I was just like, oh, well, you know, like I'm just...
You know, honestly,
this.
It's been so long ago since I started the game. She could have been.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I was talking to Delilah like she was still alive.
Okay, yeah. But she wasn't for me. She was dead.
But it could have easily have been he was pretending that she was still alive because he didn't want to move on from her.
He talked about her a lot in Grieving in my game, so I think he would know if she was alive or dead. Yeah.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Now, I was given the option at the end to tell Delilah to come and live with me.
Yeah.
And I says, no, I go back to my wife. And she was like, that's a good idea. And, you know.
I didn't get that option.
Even though there was this temptation, yeah. You know, this, you go along with Delilah and such, but you're willing to go the long way because you loved your wife. You're willing to, you know, wait for her and yeah. help her get through this problem and not have an affair, basically, with another woman.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, this is quite heavy human emotion you're dealing with, and not many games.
I was really actually quite upset with the introduction, because you know what I mean. Like the way it lays it out is, it's just like, hey, you know, like you met this woman at a bar, da 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 da, and then like, oh shit, like because of one of my actions, this whole thing happened.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh well, you know, like I'll quit my job and look after my wife because yeah. she's been injured in this accident. Yeah. And then it just takes you down, like, oh, well, you know, you quit your job because of your wife, and then you become really frustrated at life, you get really short with her, you become an alcoholic, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fuck, no, I don't want, like, that's not the angle I was going here, and, like, it just spirals out of control, and you're like, oh, shit, this is, you know, this could potentially have been a thing that happened to a person, and then, you know, it's the best intentions, but it spirals out, and it's really a game that makes you think. When it does those things, I think Firewatch is a brilliant game.
Yeah.
However, I think the middle of the game, this whole like, hey, shit, is it a government conspiracy? What's going on? Is Delilah in on it too? What's going
Delilah.
On? Yeah, Delilah. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I said. Is all of this stuff happening? And it's like, no, it's just a bloke in the woods who accidentally killed his son. Oh, dear. It's just, it feels like it's trying to be a red herring, but it's frustrating.
It's not what the game's about. It's not the core of the game. And for a moment, you think that is, and you're very invested in it. That's your core. That's your goal, kind of, to find out what's going on behind that fence.
But also, like, the kids in the pond, like, oh, shit, they've gone missing. Like, what's happened? Am I a killer? What's going on? Like, there's so many, like, loose threads that don't really go anywhere. It's like, oh, by the way, they found those kids. And it's like, oh, great, cool.
Mm.
Like, I just, it frustrates me, because there was such a good premise there. And like I said, the ending, like my ending was similarly as satisfying in terms of like, oh shit, you could have done this, you could do that. And it feels like closure. But the middle of that game just, it unravels in so many ways for me that it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, maybe in I a way played that, it over a long period of time. So yeah. that might have made that whole experience different from your experience. Because I imagine you played it through it in a shorter amount.
I did, yeah. I sat there, I did it in one sitting.
Wow. I think that could have been quite effective because as we just witnessed there, I have trouble remembering the beginning of the game because it's been so long since I started it. But I think by the time the credits roll, you feel like you've experienced something.
You do, yeah. To the credit of Campo Santo, the developers, like, I think it is a very unique game. I think the walking around simulators, I think this is probably the one that, other than Rapture...
Stylistically, it's really nice as well. It's totally different than Rapture, which goes for a realistic approach. It goes for a stylized approach with your chubby fingers and that a lot.
And if Virginia tries the same thing, but the game we played, it's kind of a similar game, but without words for those of you who don't know what it is. I really didn't like that game. I think it tries too hard to be Overwatch without completely missing the point. And also, hey, wouldn't it be fun to tell a story without words? And fails at that as well. So
I love these experiences which... they remind you at the end you've been playing a video game. It says a video game by at the end. And then you think, well, that was more than a video game.
Yeah.
I felt like I've just watched a film, but I've been a direct part of that.
Yeah.
And interacting in that world. And these kind of games for me are incredibly satisfying.
Definitely.
Because a lot of the time, I'd always feel about video games, they were a bit empty, a bit soulless.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you go to a game, you just have a quick go. So it's a bit of fun.
Or passive.
Yeah. You feel invested in the characters. Games being made now are so... I don't know. They've probably always been games like Firewatch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, since Gone Home is one of the first, you know what I mean? I mean, like, you obviously...
Shenmue actually was the example of the first time I got invested in characters in
BioShock,
the story.
You know, System Shock, like, people obviously Fallout and Elder Scrolls, like, there's a lot of these games where you are embodying someone and you care about the characters around you, I mean, that's probably been since time began.
Mm.
But I think with this level of...
They're shorter.
This is, Yeah.
They're more compact. It feels like experience. You're watching a film.
Yeah.
The game doesn't have to be 60 hours long to tell a story. It can be 4 hours long, and it can be all the better for that in some cases.
From what I understand, Final Fantasy is somewhere around 20, which is actually kind of a relief because I thought I was going to be in for a Witcher-style experience.
I thought an example of another game where actually he was satisfied with on the story level was a game which I've heard many people dismiss, but Force Unleashed 2.
Yeah,
I got to say that was a very cinematic game with a pretty good story. And maybe my problem is I'm playing games which are too long.
Maps.
I have to choose the games like Force Unleashed, short game.
Yeah.
I got that well-rounded, satisfying experience out of it.
Yeah.
So I want more games like that. I hear Titanfall 2 is relatively
5 hours,
compact.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I think.
I'm really happy with Firewatch. Glad to have finally completed it. I guess now I've got Gone Home sitting there as well. And Dear Esther. And
Gone Home's like an hour, man. You should just play Gone Home.
I think that's next on my list.
We should do like a walking simulator special, I think, at one point as well, where we just talk about all these games in comparison to each other.
It's funny because I'm not someone who usually likes slower paced games, but when they engage me like that, and when I can feel some genuine human emotion in there, it makes it all more worthwhile.
I think we've been spoiled with these games, though, because playing anything lesser than Rapture or Firewatch now for me just does nothing. I can't play it. I get frustrated very easily, which is what I did with Virginia. But there we go.
Inevitably, other games will try and achieve the same thing, but it just enhances how special those few games which...
And games will surpass it. I mean, you know, like I've heard people speak very highly of Soma, but for me, Soma was a lesser experience.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I need to play that yet. Or do I?
I don't think you do. I think it just feels too old.
How about Last of Us? You've completed that game.
I have completed The Last of Us. So The Last of Us is...
it's current because there's a sequel on this.
There is. I'm very interested because Naughty Dog have said, well, the first game was about love. The second game is about hate. Now,
yeah, that doesn't appeal to me.
I think the first game is a solid achievement. I've gone on record as saying I have no intention of ever playing The Last of Us 2 because the first one depressed me on a level I've never experienced in a video game.
I'd like to... I've only played Left Behind, which is the shorter downloadable game.
Yeah.
Focusing on this particular element of the story. But wow, that game has fantastic controls.
Yeah.
It has a really easy to get to grips with control system.
Yeah.
Which feels incredibly natural.
Yeah.
And very satisfying.
I'm going to... I'm just quickly going to touch upon it because it leads into this conversation anyway. I beat Uncharted 1, finally, for the first time. That game where I stopped the first time where I played it on the PS3 going, ah, maybe I've had enough of this. I see where The Last of Us came from now because there's fucking zombies in that game.
Ah.
It goes off the deep end at the end where you go into like this Nazi bunker and there's like these zombie creatures. I was like, what? Like, what's this about? I don't remember this. And I was like, oh, I must be near the end. I must have got further than I did last time.
Hmm.
And it becomes like almost like a survival mode where you've got a shotgun and you're shooting these awful crawly things that are kind of like necromorphs that are the old Spanish people you've been tracking the entire game and like become these awful zombie creatures.
I'm interested to hear if in that game they feel genuinely threatening because that's something Last of Us does very well.
Yes.
You're scared. It's like Resident Evil and there's a zombie around or a creature. That is one of the strengths of that game, that they are powerful and can kill you in one go.
Yeah, they do. Not as... I don't think there's such an immediacy to it in Uncharted as there is in Last of Us. Like, Last of Us, you die. You know you die because those things like lunge at you and you get the... Ah! Moment and then it cuts.
And that's one of the most satisfying things about The Last of Us, but it's also one of the things that makes me a little bit hesitant to play a full Last of Us game because I think that I'm scared every time it's like they're out. I'm like, oh shit, I don't know if I can handle this, so I put the difficulty down to easy.
I had to for The Last of Us because I had to get through that game.
Yeah,
there are moments where, much like every good zombie movie does, proves that man is the monster and not the zombie.
Mm.
And it turns halfway through where it's not just you as the dude I can't remember the name of taking Ellie through that world.
Remember.
And it's just it goes some dark places that I was like, shit, this is really deep for a video game. This is not what I come to video games for.
Yeah, for sure. But what, as we were relating this back to Firewatch and the like,
yeah,
and there's some very well written, well directed cutscenes. Naughty Dog have a real talent.
Yeah.
They make solid games with great gameplay, but what they do better than nearly any other studio I can think of is do cinematics.
Yeah, it's incredible.
The nuances in the facial expression in The Last of Us is something I've never actually experienced before. I'm a little late to the party, I admit, here, but wow, the subtleties in the performances. It's nearly like you're watching a live-action movie.
And Joel and Ellie feel Joel, real in a way that I don't experience in the game. And that, I think that is part of the reason of my discomfort with that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those characters are so believable that it's just grim. there's no other way I can describe it. Honestly, like, I think of The Last of Us, and like I haven't even clicked on any of the articles. I haven't watched the trailer for the second one.
There's not
I honestly don't want to know. It was way too grim for me. Like I said, I won't spoil it for you because you haven't played it, but there are moments in that game where I just thought it was just going to end in like the worst way possible.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm hesitant to play the full game because it may be in this bite-sized little package that is left behind. If this went on for hours and hours and hours and got even more heavy and, you know, depressing...
Yeah,
because there's not a lot. At least in Left Behind, you have these flashbacks where you have a little bit of a good time. You know, they flash back to a time when Ellie has a friend and they're in a mall and there's no real threat there.
Yeah,
there is eventually, but you're just playing, having fun, and that juxtaposed with the current timeline and the situation that Ellie finds herself in, where she's looking for a medi pack for Joel, who's you know, she's looking after him, basically. Yeah. He's secure and safe, and she's going for this. And then some guys turn up later on. Humans, not creatures. Yeah. So I got to shoot some guys, too. It's very weird to have such a young character be so... I don't know what the word is. She's pissed off.
Yeah.
And she's dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, I've never experienced a character like this. She's not a child because she's had to grow up. She's had to survive. It's a really interesting character they've created.
Yes, very. The writing is impeccable, as I've said. But
great gameplay. I've not played a game with this good third-person gameplay since Tomb Raider. And I don't know if it came before... Tomb Raider, the new one.
Well, I mean, like, it's basically building off Uncharted, and I mean, that came long before Tomb Raider. That's why they rebooted Tomb Raider in the way they did, because Uncharted was making better Tomb Raider games.
Mm. But it grabbed me in a way that Tomb Raider game did, which is, very good.
Interesting. I actually bought Uncharted 4 during Black Friday.
Yeah.
Still think it's available for 150 kroner in Fitex. So I was just like, cool, I'll add me some of that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal.
It's a pretty damn good price on that game. Yeah, what else have I been playing? Like I said, beat Uncharted 1, playing some Moon, playing some Final Fantasy 15. Bought a ton of games that I shan't list off.
Yeah, I'm in a similar position. They had a sale on, a flash sale on PlayStation Store recently.
Yeah, I saw.
On indie games.
Yeah, I saw. I didn't buy any
I bought Inside.
Yeah.
I bought Abzu. I bought Bound.
I wanted to buy Abzu. I wanted to buy Bound.
I bought Mantis Burn Racing because it's a bit like Micro Machines.
There was like four or five games in that sale I wanted to buy, and I said, no, this month I need to beat Final Fantasy. I need to beat Pokemon Sun and Moon, and I need to beat The Last of Us. Not The Last of Us, The Last Guardian.
Which is
out this week, which I need to pick up, and that's going to be my Christmas present to myself, so I'm not even going to touch that until I've beat Final Fantasy 15 anyway.
I spent 40 quid on that store, in that sale.
But I got
everything I've been wanting to get and holding off until it was on sale.
I honestly could have. Honestly, there were so many things in that sale that I was like, I should just buy this.
It was jaw-dropping, actually.
It was incredible.
Like, whoa. I must buy all this now.
Yeah.
So that gives me lots of games to play. But I'm happy that I actually have them now. I thought I could wait, and then they go up. I know I'm going to play them. I know I want them. I'm going to them now.
should play it inside and let me know what you think. That's a very good game.
Yeah. I've heard it just goes on and there's no like real... it's not segmented into levels as such.
Yeah, well, it is in a way. Okay. It is a continuous thing, but...
You can leave it. It does autosave.
There is like loading points which indicate like the next level, and then you just turn it off and you save.
Yeah. How long is that game? Do you know? Is it
not very long? Only a couple of hours. Okay. 2-3 maybe. I think. Yeah. Very good game though. You should play it. Oh, you know what I really wanted out of that sale that I didn't buy was Hitman.
Oh right. Okay.
I really want to play Hitman, but I have way too many things I need to play before it. So we'll see. Yeah. To be honest, for me, that's mainly what I've been playing in these weeks. Some of my highlights of games I bought. I will be writing up another article for Retro Collect, much in the vein I wrote the Rome Travel Guide of Retro Gaming. I was recently in Porto at the weekend, so I plan on writing a thing up about that. There, I bought one or two Game Boy Color games, Space Station Silicon Valley. I bought Klonoa for the Game Boy Advance, which I'm very... curious to try out. I haven't yet.
I know it. Well.
Good.
Yeah.
Seemed it would be. It's got Klonoa on the label.
There's two Klonoa games.
There is. This is the first one. This is not the second one.
I'm familiar with.
Yeah. The second one only came out in the States, I believe, from what I could see, anyways. I picked up a JRPG that I'd never seen before, which is a tactical one called Makai. But it was all of €2, so I was like, well, I'll pick it up. And some other bits as well.
Sounds like a bird.
Also picked up a copy of Snowboard Kids from a seller in Denmark with an N64 official Rumble pack because it was a tenner, and I think it would have been rude not to buy both of those things for a tenner because a box copy of Snowboard Kids is about 40-50 quid, and it's a game I've long been after.
I'll never forget the first time I used a Rumble pack on Lilac Wars. It came bundled with it.
Yeah, boy. I also picked up some Super Nintendo games. I shan't name them on the podcast because a lot of them are for my nephew, actually. So, ha 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 ha. But I'll show you afterwards, Mr. Barry.
Super duper Super Nintendo.
Hey!
I picked up all sorts. Killer Instinct Complete Collection for Xbox One was on offer.
Yeah.
I've had to get that because I like fighting games.
Oh, really? You like fighting games, do you?
Interesting, Mark of Wolves has been re-released. Stun PS4.
Hey man, Windjammers.
Windjammers is on there. Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Hey, Marvel, I didn't buy these games, by the way.
New Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, Infinite.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all going on. Anyway, what have I been buying? I bought Quantum Break for £13.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
I don't know. It's been shipped to the UK, so all these games are waiting for me. I bought WWE 2K16 because I love a good wrestling game and didn't have one for PS4, so I snapped that one up. I pre-ordered Last Guardian. I bought Wolfenstein The Old Blood for Xbox One recently. So a few Xbox One games. I bought Tomb Raider, the latest one, the collector's pack.
Rise of.
£30. Yeah, with Black Friday. Friday. This is the thing. I bought Far Cry Primal.
I bought some Vita games in that Black Friday sale, right? Bought Michael Jackson Experience.
Yes, I know you did.
And I bought the FIFA game. It's a krona.
Yeah.
It's like literally 10 pence for a brand new game. I was just like, well, yeah, go on then. Why not?
I don't think you're going to play FIFA on your Vita, are you?
I don't mind a bit of FIFA. Unfortunately, like most British children,
I was forced into playing FIFA. I like playing football games multiplayer. I really do. Great fun. I'm no good at them, but I have a laugh.
Yeah, me neither. But.
I got the Vita game. I bought Shadow of Ronin Ninjago.
Yeah.
Because it's got some things I designed in it. Yay. So
I think I have that game.
That was about 50 krona.
I got a few. I got Force Awakens on Vita, actually, which I'm meaning to get into over the Christmas period. Mm. I got my Vita TV, and I think it works with that. Fortunately, not two-player, though, on Vita TV, I don't think. So
Yeah,
bit of a shame.
I've probably picked up a few other things, but I mean, it's difficult now to remember. I haven't got them all written down.
You've not listed.
I've not been buying things on eBay so much. They've been off Game and Shop 2 and Zavvy and all this.
I bought Game Color games off eBay. Just because I've started going down that rabbit hole now of going like, well, I need a few Game Boy games. They'll come to me when they come to me.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at like what I thought would perhaps be the more difficult titles to get for the Game Boy Color down the line. Mm-hmm. And there was one game that I had never seen. like ever are called Nations, Rise of a Nation or something like that. It's like an action platformer by some British independent developer.
Okay,
and so I saw a box copy of that for a tenner and it was the only one on eBay. And after weeks of having it as a saved search, I was like, I'll buy that. I think that's probably going to be a good investment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also got a copy of Shaun White Snowboarding, which is an Australian only release. And that was like £4, £3, £4.
Bargain.
And I was like, go on then. I'll have that boxed as well because it's an Australian only release and God knows when I'll see that again.
Speaking of bargains,
I
finally found Puppeteer in Blue City.
Yeah.
I've been looking for Puppeteer for a while. Yes. I had a copy. So it's like, oh, it's 5 for £100, I think. Is
yeah,
it five?
Yeah, it's 5 for £100.
So I was like, I need some other games. Right. Let's have a look. Folklore was in there.
Yeah.
I picked that up.
Yeah, I saw you pick that up.
Oh, you seen the video?
I saw you pick up video.
Yeah.
I did watch them.
And I mentioned about Folklore because it's a game which I wasn't so taken with, but was willing to give another go. And I knew it was a good deal because Folklore is something that people want.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought,
one of those games I'm looking for, actually.
I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
I'll see what it's like. I'll give it another go. Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay? Was that the name of the first game?
No.
Anyway, the first game's on there.
One. Yeah.
I like that game. It's a very cheap game. You see it everywhere.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I thought, well, I'd add something here. Naruto, Ninja Storm 3, full burst.
Yeah.
And something else, which I forget off the top of my head now. But yeah, very happy with that little
Yeah, it's not
bundle.
A bad haul. I've been in there a couple of times myself and looked at it, and I've not...
I didn't see anything last time, but... was good.
I've seen a few people actually in there just like people going together and going and looking at things. It's been like, oh, Duke Nukem. Oh, I'm just like,
you either
just started retro collecting or you're just trying to be cool. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the thing
is. They rubbed you up the wrong way, mate.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something rubbed me up the wrong way.
What, Tom?
Lego Dimensions.
Why?
Because I got the Ghostbusters add-on pack.
Yeah.
And I got to the very end. I must have been a fighting Gozer.
Yeah.
The game did something irritating where Gozer, to allow me to attack her, she had to fire the lightning at something to charge up the... Yeah, she had to fire in a certain direction.
Okay.
I got a small window to attack her, and she never went back to the place where I needed her to go to activate the... It's hard to explain, but the game glitched out and didn't give me the opportunity to beat her. I got stuck in an endless loop where she never moved to the point she needed to be in order for me to actually finish the game. And I thought, okay, what should I do now? Well, I'll save it and come back to it later. Saved it. Next time I turned it on, I was at the beginning.
Oh.
And I have to say, the Ghostbusters level pack, it's got its moments, but there's a lot of monotonous driving around in between the main points.
Okay.
And there's not much of a game there.
Okay.
I didn't expect a lot from a level pack. But the fact that I have to go through it all again now in order to complete it was slightly frustrating. And I think this was on top of a few bad experiences I had. Skylanders Giants froze on me right after I beat the end boss.
Yeah.
So for the game to recognise that I beat it, I had to do it again. I got stuck on a bush on Firewatch. I'm walking towards the final goal. Honestly, I was stuck on the bush. I thought, I can't move. I saved on the bush as well, thinking that it would take me back to a checkpoint, but no, it took me directly back to this bush that I was stuck on. I thought, that's it. I've screwed my whole game up now. One save game, saved, stuck on a bush.
Stuck on a bush.
So I managed to wriggle free after quite a while. And I was like, oh, these glitches. And I've experienced glitches in other Lego games, like Lego Star Wars had a glitch where I didn't do something in the right order, meaning I couldn't finish a level. Dimensions has frozen on me before on two times trying to do the Doctor Who level.
Yeah. Hard life, Tom. I just think you jinxed me. This is why you never beat games.
It's funny, always things happen at the end. Ghostbusters, Lego, Firewatch, and Skylanders all at the very end decided to go weird on me.
Okay.
Two of those games I was playing on the Wii U. Don't know if that's got anything to do with it.
Who knows?
Firewatch, obviously, on the PS4. But
yeah. It's a shame. Did you pick up Skylanders Imaginators?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. 250 kroner.
Really? On Black Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
actually, the week of Black Friday. It was a deal that BR were doing here in Denmark.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but of course, that's why I completed Giants, because I wanted to go back.
Start that, yeah.
And also then I've got Swap Force and Trap Team and Superchargers.
I've still got Superchargers on my hard drive because we've got like two levels to go. I can't bring myself to play it. Like Swap Force, both I and the fiance quite enjoyed it. Superchargers not so much. And
I've only heard good things about Imaginators.
Yeah,
I bought the Crash Bandicoot add-on as well.
I almost bought that separately because it was like £20, and that figure looks really nice, and so does the Cortex.
And the remake actually looks pretty good too.
I haven't seen the trailer. I have not seen anything out of PSX other than headlines. Some amazing things are announced there. Did you watch any of the Game Awards, actually?
No.
Oh, man. I was watching some because I was up at 3 a.m. to get a flight, and that's the time it was airing. So I was watching it while I was having my Cocoa Pups. And, yeah, wow, that was a weird show.
I actually did see something. I saw the band that did the Doom soundtrack performing.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah. Did you see the Gillette Razor knockoff thing?
No.
There was a guy called like Mr. Razor, and he was literally a dude in a big like buff superhero costume, but the head was a giant razor.
What was the purpose of this?
Advertising. And so someone was like talking to him, and then it cut to this really awkward segment where the Razor was fighting another Razor in like an 8-bit Mortal Kombat game, and then it cut away to them announcing like I can't remember what the name of the category was, but it's essentially a category that Dragon Cancer won, and the guy who made that game gave a really heartfelt speech.
Yes.
And I was just like, what the fuck is this? That was really touching. That made me kind of want to play that game, even though I know it's going to mess me up a little bit because it seems very emotional. And then like they were like, oh yeah, well, that poor Jeff Keighley, the guy who's presenting it, was just kind of like, yeah, you know, wow, this is why we do these awards for moments like this, you know, to reward people who've done these things. And then it was like, oh yeah, and we had a poll in China with our Chinese advertisers, and they say that this game's the People's Choice Awards China, and it felt very awkward. It was this weird juxtaposition with wanting to be like a serious like gaming Oscars and this weird shilling me stuff I don't really need.
Yeah, or I guess the funny thing somehow, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, not that way, man.
No.
Like, it felt so weird and disjointed. And I still haven't seen the Death Stranding trailer.
I have.
I know.
Mads Mikkelsen.
How is Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah, there was a little bit of an Uncanny Valley thing going on still. But there were moments where it looked incredibly realistic. There was a moment where Mads Mikkelsen looks up at the camera and it's like, whoa, that's like real.
Yeah.
But the design choices are really interesting, and I'm very...
Tank full of limbs.
I'm very interested where this game is going.
Me too. It's Kojima. I'm just like, this. I have no idea.
I feel like it's Kojima. I'll show them, you know.
Yeah.
I'll show Konami what they've lost.
Yes.
But it should make, hopefully, a good game.
Fingers crossed.
Whatever kind of game it ends up being.
I guess it'll probably be what PT would have probably ended up being to some degree.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Hey, Matt, at least we know we're getting Knack 2.
Oh, man. Right then. So I posted a picture on my Facebook, my private Facebook, and it was essentially me posting a picture of my PlayStation that I picked up, because the day of launch was the day the Final Fantasy came out, 29th of November. And I said, happy PlayStation 4 day, everyone, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of Knack in it. And everyone was taking the piss out of Knack. And then I let it slide, you know? Like, I was taking the mick out of it as well. And then they announced Knack 2. And I have got no end of shit for my purchase of the original Knack. And I've been called an enabler of this petty crime.
It's my fault there's
Knack 2. I've had... a rather had to agree with someone of just saying that this cheapens the experience that was Knack, the Tour de Force, that was that brilliant game. No one asked for a sequel. The first one was perfect, but no, now I get online co-op. Bada bing, bada boom.
Not a bad game, though. It's not a bad game. Just a very average game, from what I could gather of you playing it, at least.
Had I had any other option of a game to play on that PlayStation 4 launch, might not have got Knack. Might have taken Knack back.
So why they felt, I don't know, that Knack was a game that needed a sequel?
Because I guess the guy who architected the PS4. His name is like Matt Kearney or like Rob Kearney or something like that. Like, I guess this is his love child. Like, he's very passionate about it.
Knack isn't a very appealing character.
And none of the characters in that game are like, you know, we've talked about like depth of storytelling on this podcast. You know, they're the most one-note characters. I can't remember any of them.
Tell you what, give me Croc over Knack.
Man, fucking, oh, I'm totally with you. Give me Croc any day, and I don't even like Croc. Give me Spyro, give me Aero the fucking acrobat over Knack. No.
I mean,
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it and I'm going to force you to play it with me for a Tom, I'm Out Attack.
Well, you know,
video.
We might be pleasantly surprised. Who knows? The gameplay might been improved.
I will say this now. I will buy a hat, Dan Reichert from Giant Bomb Fashion. I will eat that if it is a good game. If it is a game that wins game awards, I will eat a physical hat.
Yes, well,
I'm so convinced.
The chances of you eating a hat are rather
slim. I think they are very slim, thank God. But I'll force you to play it with
Parappa's me. Parappa's back.
Yes, yeah, in HD.
Yeah, I guess it's cool and all.
I'm all right with that.
I mean, it looks really good, and it's weird seeing these games now. It's same with Crash.
Yeah.
You know, I thought those games are cool. Yeah, I love those games. Wow, they look like that.
Yeah.
Did they really look like that?
No, they didn't, Tom. Don't go back. It's Wind Waker. It'll blow your mind.
Does Crash look like that? Does Parappa look like that? Because Parappa looks great now. I don't really want to buy it again, but I think it looks great.
I have it on the PSP now.
Yeah.
I literally didn't own a copy until the summer where I found it in a flea market. Yeah. So.
And do I want to buy Crash again? I don't know. It feels like that's got a real effort put into that.
I'm curious because...
They've actually smoothed out some of the gameplay, and that's a bit worrying that they have changed things slightly.
You should go back and play Crash. It's not a good game. It's really not a good
game. I don't know. I've played Crash fairly recently. It can be frustrating at times. If they've ironed out some of these kinks in Crash, also they do include Crash 2 and 3, which are better games.
Really, I really like Crash 2, and that's why I'm tempted. I don't know if I want to pay £60 to play Crash 1 or 3, though, if they just did them like Uncharted collection style where they release all three of them on disc.
Like, sometimes I get the feeling I might want to play Crash Bandicoot again because I like the style, like the character's kind of appealing. It's nothing quite exactly like Crash.
I really like Crash 2. I will say that, but
if I wanted to go back and play Crash, I'd play the PS1 game. I think, this may be a more palatable way of playing Crash. It's nice to have the option to play this nice remastered version over the original version. But maybe I'm just kind of getting on the hype train here or something and thinking I'll probably just enjoy the original if I play it on the CRT TV of the PlayStation.
I really don't think you would, honestly. Like, take that from someone who genuinely very much enjoyed that game at the time.
I mean any of the original Crashes. I'm not saying specifically the first one. I'm saying, can I get the same amount of enjoyment of going back and playing the original game as I'd get from investing in the new game? I don't know. Do I need to buy the new game, or can I get the same fun from playing the old one?
If they ratchet and clank it, I think that's a very good example of them taking a good existing game and dialing it up a notch. I don't think I could go back and play Ratchet and Clank on the PS2 after playing the PS4 version.
That is just a question, isn't it?
And I don't know. I haven't seen the trailer, like I said. But I can't see how you remake that game or those games without entirely remaking those games to make them appealing to a modern gamer. Ratchet and Clank was very ahead of its time in some degrees, and all it took really was some more polished graphics, some updated controls, and then ironing out some kinks for it to be a truly memorable game. I think Crash Bandicoot is like the polygonal moral of Crash, very hard to smooth out and round off because it's just so jagged.
You have to do something big with it. It's like Tomb Raider, isn't it? It's like what? Interesting that they did do Tomb Raider Anniversary.
Yeah.
Which did mess with it a lot, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. But they really needed to mess with it a lot.
Yeah, of course. They could not just release Tomb Raider 1. As it was.
I'm kind of curious to see if they do that because, I mean, like Crash 3, some of those fucking vehicle sections, oh my God, never want to play those again.
But as they say, they've lower the difficulty in places.
I don't care about that.
Smooth out the
it's
creases.
It's just not a fun experience in most cases from what I remember. Like, I fondly remember those levels where you're being chased by a big polar bear in Crash 2.
Mm. Is Crash better left in the past now? I those think original so. Games, at least.
I think so. That's my feeling, anyways.
Yeah. Whoa. There we go, Matt Boyle said it.
Yeah.
Bury Crash already.
Drop, fucking kill him. Leave him in Skylanders. No, I don't know. Like, I really liked the Crash Bandicoot games back then. I think they were a time and place thing.
That's a fair point.
I mean, you know, I think there's
nostalgia's a powerful
a lot
thing,
of
though.
Games for that era, unfortunately, the same thing. I love Jumpin' Flash. You will hear me talk on this very podcast way back when about how much I love Jumpin' Flash. I don't think it's really the best first-person game you could play. I don't think it's the best PlayStation launch title you could play. If they were to do some kind of updated Jumpin' Flash, maybe I would. I wouldn't play Remaster.
No. Fair point. All right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got nothing more to add.
I got nothing more to add either. I think that ties a knot under it all. There's nothing else we're missing, right? We talked about The Last of Us, talked about the new Marvel vs. Capcom.
Very briefly, but there's not much to talk about yet. Apart from it's 2v2 and Infinity Stones give you extra abilities.
There's no X-Men in it either, right?
I don't know.
I don't think so from what I've heard rumblings. Or at least that was what they were saying on Giant Bomb. I don't know if there's any truth to that.
They've got some of the original developers working on it. Worked on the first couple.
That's cool.
I don't know if they also worked on 3.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But the pedigree's there. Hopefully it turns out good fun.
Fingers crossed.
But your thing is, give me Marvel vs. Capcom 2 over 3. You know, 3 was great and all, but I think 2 was where it was at and maybe where it's still at.
Yeah. I think for people who play Marvel vs. Capcom, I think so.
They're updating it now, though, to fit in with the new Marvel characters and what's going on in the cinematic universe. Apparently, they're... Yeah, making it more palatable for a modern audience.
Well,
and getting
of course,
a few new fans and bandwagon, so that's all good.
Anything else? Can you think of anything else from PSX or
Wipeout?
Oh, man, yes.
But it's remakes again.
I don't care. I just want a Wipeout game on my PS4.
Yeah. I really liked HD and Fury.
Man, that
on
Vita
the PS3.
Game is incredible.
The Vita game's great. I think Wipeout was a series that got better and better. I don't like the original Wipeout whatsoever.
I love the original Wipeout. 2097 is my favourite. Though.
Well, the first one's terribly difficult to play.
It is, but I love the aesthetic. I love that it is the start of that. At the time, I played it a lot, and then 2097 came out, and then I can't touch the first Wipeout. 2097 is definitely the best PlayStation version of Wipeout.
Yes, Sony are having a field day with their classic IPs.
Yeah.
Really are, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. God, I just hope this means there is a new Wipeout. I honestly, like, if there was any, like, hey, maybe we'll release a new Wipeout. If people buy this, I'd buy 5. I you know me. Yeah. I don't give a shit about racing games. I love Wipeout.
Yeah.
Most of that is primarily to do with the blend of music and the aesthetics. I love the way the cars look. I love the graphic design in that game. It's such a big inspiration on me becoming a graphic designer. That I would pay threepence to play new Wipeout.
Pure was the best Wipeout experience on the Vita.
Yeah, Wipeout Pure is pretty damn good. Yeah.
I think it's the Vita one's called Pure, isn't it?
Isn't it one of the...
Or is that the PSP one?
That's the PSP
one. Yeah, that was
I think the one on the Vita's got a number name, because isn't it like somewhere between 2097, like because it's cars.
I already know it got better for
me. I can't remember. I don't own a physical copy of it. Yeah. That's what I put it down to.
Smashing. I think we've covered everything. Sony are having a great time at the minute.
Yeah, seems that way.
I think they've got this heritage that Xbox doesn't quite have.
No.
Or Microsoft.
Well, you know, I mean, Microsoft.
And they're playing upon it.
That heritage, but I mean, I don't think they're in a position to start going, hey, remember Wipeout?
Remember.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, remember Blinks the Time Sweeper? It doesn't really have the same appeal, does it?
Yeah, they can flog Halo and Gears forever.
Project Gotham's the one they'd have to drag out to do something like that.
Ooh, yeah, well, bad series of
Forza's winning Game of the Year. For
yeah,
Forza
they don't need
and...
Gotham anymore, I guess. What else are they going to pull out of the bag? Microsoft. It's classic. They can bring back. It's more difficult to think of something.
They could possibly, potentially, they... like, maybe fund a Knights of the Old Republic 3. I mean, I associate that very much with the Xbox brand.
Also associate a lot of those early Sega titles.
Yeah, Jet Set Radio, new one of those.
Jet Set Radio, Panzer Dragoon.
Oh man, new Panzer Dragoon would be great. I say a new Panzer Dragoon would be great, and then they released one, and then it wasn't very good. It was the one for the Kinect, remember? Yeah. Steel Battalion. I would
an Xbox.
Hey, I'd play a Steel Battalion game if they released a proper.
Oh, they're doing Halo Wars 2, aren't they?
Oh, I don't care about Halo Wars though. Like Halo's as a franchise is dead to me, and from the slashed promotions I've seen on Gears of War 4, despite you're in, that's a pretty good game. I don't think that's all very well, but we'll see. We'll see.
And wait for Nintendo to charge in.
Oh man, I can't wait.
New trailer for Breath
of the Wild. I haven't watched it. I honestly, like, I've been so busy, and any moment I had here that wasn't packing or running around was literally me going, hey, I need to play Final Fantasy 15. So, gonna do some of that now.
So I think that's the current state of gaming.
It is.
There was a lot to talk about this
There episode. Was. It's a bumper episode. Hopefully that makes up for you lovely listeners for not having us in your ears for 2 weeks. And we'll be back next week at the regular time on a Sunday. But until then, you can find us in the regular places on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. On Twitter at TMAcast. And in all the usual places, like I said, blastprocess.com. TomMattAttack.com/podcast and also in iTunes and Stitcher. While you're in iTunes, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe? Tom, you got anything coming up on the Blast Process YouTube channel? Any more Paris
There'll
pickups?
Be another Paris pickups very soon.
Yeah, I will be dropping a review of a new Game Boy game at the end of the week. Ooh. And I will also, hopefully within the next 2 days, be releasing another article on Retro Collect that'll hopefully bring some people here. So if you are a new person who's coming from that Retro Collect article, hello!
Welcome.
It'll be about Porto. Ooh la la. Anyways, let's go, because I got many things to do. See you, man, about a dog.
Knack 2!
Yay!